Good morning once again. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of John. John chapter 3 in verse 2, where we read, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" And our subtext is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and verse 38, which reads thus: "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly." Let's put our scripture text in its context, beginning in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.'" So if we allow Scripture to interpret itself here, we would understand the water in the Spirit to be being explained in verse 6 in terms of the flesh in the Spirit. In other words, one must be born both physically and spiritually to see the kingdom of God. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.'" And here we have the great and beautiful truth of the Christian gospel presented. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. What do people who believe in faith in Christ alone do? They do the truth. The works follow, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Now, Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling religious body of the Jews. He was a leader of a rabbinic school in Israel in that day. How do we know that? Jesus referred to that fact when he referred to him as not just a teacher of Israel, but, quote, the teacher of Israel. And this identifies Nicodemus as the superintendent, if you will, over one of the five recognized schools, rabbinic schools, in Israel in that day. So he was a big shot. He was supposed to understand the scriptures frontwards and backwards, and yet he's asking Jesus to explain to him fundamental truths that he ought to have understood and apprehended, but he was not able to do so because he had been so immersed and confused by those oral laws, Talmudic laws, man's laws, which had come into conflict with the law of God. So Nicodemus, in spite of all of his knowledge, was spiritually immature, and he required a clear presentation of God's plan of salvation, which Jesus graciously provided him. Nicodemus, the leader of a school in Israel, for all of his head knowledge, required a clear presentation of the gospel. And so too does the Orthodox Jew and the Catholic priest today. We find Nicodemus two more times in John's gospel. We find him appealing for justice in John chapter 7, verse 45. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." So they go to arrest Jesus, and they're amazed by the message, and they have no idea what to do, so they forget what they came there for, to arrest Jesus, and they come back empty-handed. And the officers come up to them. These are the officers of the Jewish high priest. And they say, "Well, what's up with this? Didn't we send you out to arrest this guy? What's wrong with you?" And they say, "Well, we heard the message and we were just blown out of our minds. So we didn't know what to do, so we just came back." Right? It's kind of comical, you know, when you really think about it. And you can imagine the frustration of the Jewish high priest. You know, they had authority within their own temple, but they had no authority under Roman law to do this. So then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him?" But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" And they answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." Well, apparently, these folks didn't have the book of Jonah and the scroll of the book of Kings in their Bibles, because Jonah was a prophet who had arisen from Galilee. Notwithstanding all this, notice that in verse 48, we read, "Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him?" What this teaches us is that Nicodemus, although he went to see Jesus and he recognized him as a great teacher, had not publicly affirmed that fact. We're going to find Nicodemus. We're getting quite familiar with him, so we're going to call him Nick. And we find him again in John chapter 19, verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus but secretly, here's another one, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. So Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. So we got two secret disciples. We got Nick and we got Joe. And they render a belated service to Jesus Christ at his burial. So we find in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus has a willingness to seek out the truth. And he recognizes the signs that Jesus is performing are actually giving proof, authenticating his claims as the promised Messiah of God to the nation of Israel, and ultimately to all the world, the Samaritans and the Gentiles as well. And then we find him in John chapter 7, having not publicly professed any sort of faith, wishing to hear a little bit more about the claims of the Messiah. He actually uses his position to kind of encourage the other Pharisees to bring him up to a trial where he'll be publicly questioned as to whether or not he's the Messiah of Israel. But it doesn't happen. It's not his time yet. God's got other plans for him. And then we find him 3.5 years later in John chapter 19. And he's ready to publicly testify to the truth of who Jesus is. He throws caution to the wind, and he's going to be publicly accompanying Joseph of Arimathea and providing a burial, a proper Jewish burial for Jesus, which is something that those Jews who were accusing him of blasphemy would absolutely not do. So we see that Nicodemus, although he was a disciple of Jesus, was a secret disciple of Jesus, at least for the duration of his earthly ministry. Though he had ample opportunity to question and to seek guidance publicly from Jesus in the temple area, Nicodemus chose not to do that. He chose to come to Jesus by night. So let us ask ourselves a question. Am I a secret disciple of Jesus Christ? Now I know You're here, and you're in plain sight, and that certainly works in our favor, right? We're doing okay so far. We prioritized Jesus Christ this hour by attending to the public worship, which is the duty, the first duty, of all of those believers who profess the name of Jesus Christ. But consider Peter, who walked with Jesus daily on this earth for those same 3.5 years. And under hard circumstances, when questioned, Jesus said of Jesus, "I do not know the man." Even faithful disciples can become secret disciples when the trial comes upon them quickly. Now, I suppose that it may be necessary for Christians in Saudi Arabia or North Korea to be secret disciples if they intend to keep their heads properly affixed to their shoulders, but not so in America. Though the enemies of freedom are working hard to make the gospel and Bible truth hate speech, they have not succeeded, not yet. However, they shall surely succeed if God's true children all choose to be secret disciples. When the subject comes up, do you speak on behalf of the author and finisher of your faith? Are you ashamed to pray with someone who needs God's help? You're ashamed because other people might be around, and what will they think? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you are a secret disciple, it shall never come by you. If you remain completely silent about your faith, your God, His power to heal, to bring peace to our lives, relief and deliverance will arise from some other place, if God wills. But you shall miss the blessing of being a part of God's work. There are people all around you destined for an eternity without God. And are you a secret disciple? There are people without any hope, without any peace in their lives. And are you a secret disciple? There are people who are searching for answers, who are turning to psychology, who are going online to Google the answers, who are looking for worldly solutions, who are seeking false religions. And are you a secret disciple? You're elderly. Parents, or relatives, or neighbor needs to hear a psalm and to be prayed with. She needs practical help with her housework or yard work. And are you a secret disciple? Now, we don't know what would have transpired if our friend Nick, an expert in the Old Testament law, had spoken forth the gospel publicly when he had the chance, a little earlier on. Maybe he would have been excommunicated from the Jewish community. But maybe He would have had a little bit of help from the dozen or so members of the Sanhedrin who had been converted because of his testimony. When it came time to bury his Messiah, we'll never know. And if you choose to be a secret disciple, neither will you know the things that God would have done in your life and through your life had you chosen the wiser path, not to play games or wait to serve God tomorrow. As it is written, he who wins souls is wise. And again, wisdom is justified by her children. Now we read in our text that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and that Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. Maybe you've been that guy. Maybe you've been that young lady. You want answers, and you know that Jesus has the answers, or at least you think that he might have some of the answers, but you're not ready to be identified publicly as being one of those all-in Jesus freaks. You'd rather be a secret disciple. You'd rather have approval from the world at the expense of approval from God. The approval you can see rather than the approval that you can't see now but will see or not see later. Are you really a disciple at all? And here's a frightful thought. Are you really a Christian at all? Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. May God grant us the boldness to be ambassadors of light while we still can. For truly the night is coming when no one can work. Lord God, may this message, may this word serve as an encouragement, a challenge, a correction, and a manner of direction for each and every one here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.